All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. We have a beautiful, beautiful Gemara ahead of us today. Today's daf is Tzadik Ches, 98. We are picking up the last two words on Tzadik Zayin Amud Beis, 97b. So remember again, we ended off yesterday with a really fascinating Gemara, where the Gemara was focusing on the Pasuk of Zos HaTorah Li'ola, L'mincha, l'chatos, u'la'asham, v'lamiluim, u'la'zavach hashlamim. So we're trying to figure out, ultimately, what the pasuk seems to be entirely redundant, and so we're trying to figure out what the deeper meaning of the pasuk is. So the last thing that the Gemara wanted to mention is that we learned out from mincha that just as mincha is only consumed by Zichrei Kuhuna, so too all other karbanos are also only consumed by Zichrei Kuhuna. The problem the Gemara quoted is that, not the problem, the issue is, there's another source for that halacha as well. I mean, that halacha seems to be pretty explicitly stated, of kol zachar bekohanim yochlenu. And we'll say that's by chatas and asham. So if the Torah explicitly states that by chatas and asham, why do I need another lima to teach me that karbanos are only consumed by Zichrei Kuhuna? To which the Gemara says, you're right, tanoihi. In reality, there's a machlokis tanoim. Ika tap of tzadik ches. Ika dinafka lemihacha. V'ika dinafka lemihacha. We'll say, indeed, halacha lemaisa, there are two different sources for learning out this halacha, that karbanos are only consumed by Zichrei Kuhuna. Some learn it out from the pasuk that we quoted above, others learn it out from the context of Chatos and Asham. Fine, Chatos. So we'll remember again, so now the Gemara goes weiter. So what do we learn from the word Chatos? See, here we go. Ma Chatos, miskadeshes bebalua. I've called miskadeshes bebalua. So let's remember again, this is kind of how we started this discussion. So what do we dashen from chatos? Just like Rabbi said, if a chatos is mixed with something else, so ultimately, again, it has the ability to impart its identity on something else through absorptions. In other words, that remember again, like we started this sugya with, if you cook chatos meat with something else, so the chatos identity is absorbed into the other item you're cooking it with. So just like, again, ma chatos miskadeshes bibalua, just like a chatos could go ahead and impart its identity to something else through absorptions, so to again, halacha lemaisa, any other carbon that you cook with another item also has the ability to be absorbed in that item. So the Gemara, if that's chatos, asham, ma asham ein shavir b'shilya kadosh bo. So it's actually an interesting halacha. Just like when it comes to an asham, so I will say the shavir and the shilya, which is the embryo and the placenta, right? The embryo and the placenta do not have sacrificial sanctity. Now, I'll tell you something very interesting. So there's a good reason why in the asham, so the embryo and the placenta don't have sacrificial sanctity, and that's why Rashi points out over here, ma asham ein shafir b'shulya kadosh d'ha zacharhu. Because it was a good reason that an asham can only be brought from a male animal. Now you're going to see why this is very important in just a moment. So obviously when it comes to an asham, so the embryo and the placenta cannot become kadosh. Obviously they can't become kadosh on a very technical level because they do not exist by an asham. But what's interesting to note is as follows, that the same way that the placenta and the embryo do not become kadosh within the asham, so too what? Ma asham ein shafir v'shulya kadosh bo, af kol ein shafir v'shulya kadosh bo. So too again, every other karbon, the embryo and the placenta, do not become kadosh as well. They both say, now that limud is predicated on two things. Number one, kasavar, vlados kachim b'havyasan hein kadoshim. So we'll say, number one, it teaches us an important halacha, which is that apparently an animal is only considered to be a sacrificial entity when it's alive, meaning when it's in this world. When it's in this world, look at Rashi, vlados behemos kachim b'havyasan hein kadoshim kishin oladim hein kadoshim. The sacrificial animals can only be kadosh, can only be vessel of sacrificial sanctity when they are actually alive in this world, when they're born, but not in Euro. Not in Euro. So an animal cannot possess sacrificial sanctity in Euro. Now, the truth is, there may be one exception to this rule. What's the one exception to this rule? Is Bechor. We saw already again that it could be that Bechor in fact does possess sacrificial sanctity from the womb, or I should say Bechor sanctity from the womb, but that's really much more the exception than anything else. But in any event, we learn from Asham, just like Asham, the fetus, as well as the placenta, do not become Kadosh, so too again all Karbanos. So we'll say it teaches us an important halacha, which is animals only take on sacrificial sanctity when they are born, and not when they are in utero. Furthermore, what else do we see from here? V'danin efshar, nishe'i efshar. And I will say what else we learn is that you can learn out something that is possible from something that is impossible. So I will say, in general, we've seen this concept before. So in other words, that in order to create a principle, the principle could be created from a source, even though the Iker derivative halacha you're trying to learn does not apply to that source. So how does this apply to this case? Because remember again, what am I learning out from Asham? I'm learning out from Asham that the fetus as well as the placenta do not become kadosh. And I'm learning that out from Asham, even though despite the fact that what? Right? That it can't happen by Asham because Asham is a male animal. That's done in Efshar, Mishalo Efshar. But yet I learn out to all other animals, including female animals, that this halacha applies, even though my source for this halacha is a case in which this is impossible. Look at Rashi. They're done in Efshar, Mishalo Efshar, Nekebos Mischarim. I learn out this halacha by female animals from male animals. Rashi goes on with something else. So we'll say, Donin Efshar Mishai Efshar is a principle that we've seen throughout Shas. It's subject to Machlokas. The Gemara is just bringing a Rai over here to tell you that clearly we do hold Donin Efshar Mishai Efshar, that we learn out something that is possible from something that is impossible. Good. Next, Miluim. So we'll say, what do we learn out from Miluim? Now remember, Miluim referred to the specific karbanos that were offered up by the consecration of the Mishkan. So what do we learn from Miluim? Mamiluim is actually very interesting. Mamiluim, Mosrehem Besrefa, Ve'in Ba'alechayim B'mosrehen, Afkol B'mosrehem Besrefa, Ve'in Ba'alechayim Mosrehen. So we'll say, actually, we learn a very interesting halacha over here. So when it comes to Miluim, look at Rashi for just a moment. It's the first of the wide lines on the bottom of Rashi. Mamiluim Mosrehem Besrefa, Ve'lo Hayu Ba'alechayim Mosrehen. So we'll say, what that literally means is as follows. When it came to the Miluim, anything that was left over from the sacrificial order of the Miluim was burnt. In other words, there was nothing else that you could repurpose it for. It was burnt. But yet, interestingly enough, by the Miluim, there were no leftover animals. So there's a din to burn whatever is left over from the consecration, but at the end of the day, there were no animals included in that. Look at Rashi. So, Mamiluim Mosrei Mosrei, for first wide line on the bottom, V'lo hayu ba'alechayim Mosreien demiluim. So we'll say, remember again, there were no leftover animals by the consecration of the Mishkan. We will see what that means in just a moment. Shari karban sibor hayu, V'lo hofreshu shnayim la'achrayis, V'gam lo avad echa mehem v'hefresh achar tachta v'nimtza v'shet. So we'll say, remember again, where do you run into a situation, ultimately again, where you have quote unquote leftover sacrificial animals? So sometimes the most common case would be is where you went ahead and you separated for some reason multiple animals for the same purpose, or you went ahead and you separated an animal, and what happens? It ran away, or you lost it, and you separated another animal in the interim, offered up that second animal, and then what happens? You find the first. So the Gemara is pointing out over here, Rashi pointed out to be here, none of that happened during the consecration of the Mishkan. So during the consecration of the Mishkan, there were no leftover animals. So therefore, it becomes a paradigm. Just like ultimately, again, by the Miluim, Mosrei Besreifa, whatever was quote-unquote leftover is burned. But there were no animals, but we did not burn any leftover animals, and we didn't burn leftover animals ultimately because there were no leftover animals. So therefore, again, Af Kol Mosrei Besreifa Ve'in Ba'alechayim Mosrei. So now look at Rashi again. It's four lines into the wide lines. Af Kol Kachim Mosrei Besreifa Ve'in Ba'alechayim Mosrei. So we'll say this halacha applies to all other sacrificial orders as well. So therefore, again, all other karbanos, if there's something left over from the sacrificial order, we burn it, except if it's leftover animals. So Rashi says, She'afim hayu ba'alechayim mosrein. So we'll say, so for example, let's say a person has a leftover sacrificial animal. Where does this come up? Kigon yachid shehifrish shnei karbanos lachrayis chavaso, shim yovada echad yiskaper b'sheni, Oim hifrish karban va'avar v'hifrish achar tachtav v'nim sarishon. So we'll say v'hikriv esa echa man v'esa sheni nosar in nosar zubasreifa kedin nosar shamilum. So we'll say, it's actually quite interesting, by the way. This Rashi points out a case over here of hifrish shnei karbanos la'achrayis chavasa. I have to bring a karban. So what do? Which is an interesting case. I separate out two animals. Why do I separate out two animals? I only have an obligation for one. A carbonic insurance, right? Because it'll be a new industry, right? Carbonic insurance. So what happens? So I separate two, either because I know I lose stuff all the time, right? Or whatever the metzias is. So we'll say, so now I'm only offering up one. So the Gemara now tells us, what's the status of that second one? Or perhaps the more common case. I separate out an animal for a carbon, animal gets lost. I separate another one, off or up the replacement, and then find the original one. So ultimately, the Gemara tells me, what do I do with the leftover animal? So we've learned about this. It depends on what the nature of the carbon is. Is it left out to graze until it could be redeemed? Can it be repurposed? We've seen all these halachos, but one thing is clear, which is what? We don't burn it. Meaning, as opposed to other aspects of the sacrificial order, if they are leftover, you have leftover wine libation, you have leftover mincha, so you burn it, right? Not mincha as much, because that's the kohanim, but you burn leftovers. When it comes to animals, I don't burn extra animals. Where do we learn that from? We learned it from the miluim. Good. Shlamim. We'll say back to the Gemara. Why do we learn from shlamim? Mashlamim mefaglin umispaglin. Afkol mefaglin umispaglin. What I learned from shlamim, the shlam, just like shlamim, can become pigle, and can also cause other things to become pigle. We'll say, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Mefaglin es hanesachim shemchishe bezevach af hanesachim mefugolin. Listen to this. So that shlamim could become pigle. I honestly, we spent a lot of time speaking about the halachas of pigle. I have in mind to go ahead and eat it at the wrong time, offer it up in the wrong place. Okay, whatever the machshavas are. So shlam itself could become pigle, and shlamim can make other things pigle. How so? Well, so listen to this. If, let's say, together with my shlamim, I'm offering up menachos or nesachim, a meal offering or a wine libation, when I have a pigle machshava about the karban, it also disqualifies any of the associated carbonic aspects. So therefore, when I have a pigul machshava about the shlam, about the carbon, it invalidates the mincha, or it invalidates the nesachim. So just like that is true by shlamim, so too again that is true by all carbonos. So we'll listen to this. We have a different version of this exchange that's brought down in the name of Rabbi Akiva. What does Rabbi Akiva say? Mincha, ma mincha miskadeshes bibalua. So just like mincha, ultimately again. So we'll say, remember again, this version is different. Let me read it first, and then we'll explain why it's different. Ma mincha miskadeshes bibalua. Just like mincha, ultimately again, has the ability to aser something through absorptions. Which means, I will say that again, if you mix a mincha with something else, it could go ahead and infuse its identity into something else through blios, through different types of absorptions. So to ultimately, again, every other sanctified or sacrificial item, if mixed with something else, has the ability to infuse its identity into that item through the mixture. Now I will say, now understand what just happened, something very dramatic. We have just learned the same halacha in two different contexts. In the first version of this exchange, that same halacha, what we call balua, which I must remember again, that's how we got into this whole mess over here, right? We started with the Mishnah. The Mishnah spoke about mixtures. That's what we were speaking about, mixtures. Mixtures of items of varying sanctity. So, for example, the chatos is mixed with something else. If the chatos is the rov, the majority, it infuses its identity into the minority item. So now the Gemara's, we're learning out the source of these halachos. So originally we learned this halacha in the context of chatas. Chatas was the source for this. That if you mix chatas with something else, chatas has the ability to infuse its identity into a secondary item through the mixture. Rabbi Akiva teaches this halacha in the context of a carbon mincha. So the obvious shaila is, I don't understand, why do I need the same halacha stated twice? In other words, either teach me the concept by chatos, or teach it to me by mincha, but I certainly don't need it by both. To which the Gemara says, yes, you do. V'itztirich lemichtav mincha, v'itztirich lemichtav chatos. In reality, I will say, I need the Torah to teach me this halacha ultimately by chatos, and I need the Torah to teach you this halacha by mincha. And I'll tell you why. Di ashma inan mincha, if it would have just taught it to me by mincha, I di direkicha mivla. So I might have thought, do you know why mincha has the ability to impart its identity to something else that it's mixed in with? Because a mincha is soft. Remember, again, I will say, what's a mincha? It's flour, it's oil. So you could see, you know, like the mincha goes ahead and it wraps itself around the other item, and I can understand that there's a transference of taste / identity. Abal chatos emelo. But I'd say a chatos of osa, which is not soft, right? The chatos is a piece of flesh, it's a piece of meat. So I would have thought that maybe it doesn't impart its identity. V'yashmin in chatos, and if it would have just taught me this halacha by chatos, mishum de courier. So we'll see, actually, it's actually very interesting. Courier, Rashi says over here, whatever that word in French is, mitoch shabasar av nichnas besocho hashuman ba'omko. So you say, I might have thought maybe meat is different. Since meat has fat, the schmaltz of the chatos meat gets into something else. So I'll say the word kari literally means to penetrate. So I might have thought again that because the chatos has the schmaltz, so therefore again, that's what mamish gets into something else, and that's what causes the transference of taste. Therefore again, about mincha, but mincha which doesn't have the same schmaltzy consistency, right? Consistency. So therefore what? Imalo, I would have thought that halacha l'maisa, maybe it doesn't transfer taste. Therefore tzvicha, therefore I need both. So, okay, so now we've established that even though we're seemingly learning the same halacha, both from chatas and from mincha, both sources are necessary in order to teach me the core halacha. Next, chatas. So we'll say this is all in Rabbi Akiva's version. Chatas. Ma chatas eino ba. So we'll say Rabbi Akiva's darshaning the same pasuk, just darshaning it a bit differently. So chatas, what I learned from chatas. Ma chatas eino ba ela min achulin. So we'll say this is actually very interesting. So what do we learn from chatos? Just like chatos, only comes from chulin, right? Only comes from an unconsecrated animal. So we'll say this is actually very important. What that means is that halacha l'maisa, you can't take an animal that already has a form of sanctity and go ahead and offer it up and then consecrate it as a chatos. So if I'm a kohen and I have a bechor animal, and then I have to bring a chatos, I can't sanctify that bechor as a chatos. The chatos has to come from a chulin animal. We'll discuss why that is in just a moment. So ma chatos, eino ba ela min achulin, just like chatos has to come from an unconsecrated animal, ubayom, and it can only be brought by day, ubiyado hayimanis, and the avodah must be done with the kohen's right hand. So they both say that serves as a paradigm. Afkol, so to all karbanos, ein ba ela min achulin, it can only come, karbanos will say, it can only come from unconsecrated animals. Ubayom can only be offered up by day. Ubiyado hayimanis, and can only be done with the right hand. You know, both say, being a lefty by a kohen is a psul. Kohanim cannot be left-handed. Kohanim have to be right-handed. Oh, shaylan discussion halacha about an ambidextrous kohen. What happens if the kohen is naturally left-handed? Can he condition himself ultimately to be right-handed? But the idea is, we see, avodah has to be done with the right hand. The chatos minolan, and I will say ultimately against it, where do we know this from chatos? We'll say, now what we just said, now again, remember, this is Rabbi Akiva's drasha of the same pasuk. So what I learned from the word chatos? Three things. Number one, chatas has to be from chulin. Number two, chatas can only be offered up by day. Number three, chatas has to be offered up with the right hand. And those three halachos that are true by chatas become the truth, become the halacha by all other karbanos as well. So now the Gemara says, by the way, where do you know that from? The chatas minolan, where do you know this from by chatas? We know these three halachos from chatas. So here we go. Amar Rav Chista Makra, v'hikriv aron es para chatas, asher lo. We'll say this is very interesting. Because what does the pasuk say? This is by the avodah of Yom Kippur. And Aaron will go ahead and offer up the par hachatos asher lo. Which means what? He will offer up the par as the chatos asher lo. Literally means asher lo means what? Which is his. What do we dash in from there? Mishalo, velo mishal tzibor, velo mishal meiser. We learn out asher lo means it must be his personal property. It can't belong to the Beis HaMikdash, it can't belong to the Tzibor, and it can't be an animal of Meiser. So from here you see that in order for a Karban to be proper, it must come from Chulin. Next, Bayom. Bosa, how do I know that Halacha L'Maisa, the Karban has to be offered up by day? Now Bosa, now interestingly enough, this Drasha is not by Chatos. This Drasha is by Shar Karbanos. So bayom, so mi bayom tsava so nafka. So we'll say, interestingly enough, the Gemara says, by the way, we know this halacha that a carbon could only be offered up, that carbonos could only be offered up by day. And I have news to you, says the Gemara, chatos is not the source for this. The source for this actually, again, is in Vayikra Zayin. Asher tziva Hashem es Moshe b'har Sinai b'yom tzavo so es b'nei Yisrael v'hakriv es karbanehem l'Hashem b'midbar Sinai. This is by general offerings of Klal Yisrael. You see that the Torah uses dafka the word what? Mi bayom. Right? Mi bayom tzavo so. Ultimately, again, the day of its commanding. So you see from here that what? Karbanos have to be offered by day. If I have this pasuk over here, then I don't need the pasuk by chatos, because this pasuk is all encompassing. To which the Gemara says, "You're right." Kedei naspa, Rabbi Akiva only brought in the yom aspect in passing. Right? Kedei naspa means just in passing. You're right. Rabbi Akiva didn't mean to say that the ikra halacha learned out by chatos. It's really learned out over here. Biyado hayimonis, boasting that in general the Gemara says also by avoda. We know that it has to be done with the kohen's right hand. Midiraba bar bar chana nafka. We learn something from the same synonyms. Rabbi Akiva makes it sound like we're learning it out by chatos. It's not true. We actually learn it out elsewhere. Where? From Rabbi bar chana. What does Rabbi bar chana say? Amar Rabbi bar chana amar ish lakish. Komakum shene'emar etzba ukehuna eino ela yamin. Bosei, wherever the Torah uses the lashon etzba and kehuna, etzba and kehuna always means what? Always means right hand. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, it's 2, 4, about 8 lines up from the bottom. We have the Hayimanas Tchsiv Etzba Kuhuna, but Amar Mar Leel Komakom Shene Amar Etzba Kuhuna Eino El Yamin Midra Bar Bachana Nafka VeKasaka Daitcha O Etzba O Kuhuna VeEin Lecha Bahol Eilu Shelo Ne Amar Koin Bak Ravasan. So we'll say ultimately again, Rabbi Bar Bachana says essentially wherever it says Etzba or Kuhuna, that teaches me that what? That it requires the right hand. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva, you see from here, Rabbi Akiva is making it sound like the din of the right hand is learned from chatos. It's not true. The din of the chatos is learned elsewhere, to which the Gemara says, you're right, kedei naspa. We'll say kedei naspa means the same thing. Rabbi Akiva did not mean to say that the ikar halacha is learned out from chatos, but rather, again, he brings it down here in passing. In passing, this is not the primary source. It's just brought down here in passing. Good. V'bayisim. The other possibility is Savar la kereb Shimon damar etzba lo baya kuhuna. But say the other possibility ultimately is what? That he holds like Reb Shimon. What does Reb Shimon say? Reb Shimon has an interesting derivation on this halacha, or an interesting, you know, spin on this halacha. Damar etzba lo baya kuhuna. Wherever it says etzba, I will say etzba always means right hand, even if it is not modified by the word kuhuna. Kuhuna baya etzba. But kahuna by itself, Rabbi said, doesn't automatically mean right hand, unless it's accompanied by what? By the word etzba. So etzba, right? Etzba doesn't need kahuna. Kahuna needs etzba. Rabbi said, either way, what comes out is as follows, which is, avoda must be done by the right hand, and the source for that does not appear to be chatos, but the source of that seems to be elsewhere. Rabbi Akiva just brings it down by chatos, kedei naspa, in passing. Good. Weiter, says the Gemara. Asham, what do I learn from Asham? Ma Asham, ma atzmosav mutarin, af kol atzmosav mutarin. I will say, just like by Asham, the bones are mutar. You could do it the bones, whatever you want. Look at Rashi, for example. Ma Asham, atzmosav mutarin, las sos men kelim. Ani shamati sharinecha lakonim v'nosir ba'atzom sloshayach ala b'davar necha. So we'll say, for example, let's say you want to make bone shayna, right? You want to make bone utensils from the bones of the Asham. You have the right to do so, right? There's no sir or anything by the bones. So just like by Asham, you can go and you can use the bones. So too by other kabbalos, ultimately, again, the bones are mutter. So Amar Rava, Rava says, so we'll say now, okay, so that effectively ends the drushes from that pasuk. Now we'll say, just for the end of the parak, we're going to jump back a little bit, back to the halachos concerning the splattering of blood. So Amar Rava, Rava says as follows, Pshitali, it's obvious to me, Amud Beis, 98b, top of the page. Pshitali, it's actually a fascinating case. Pshitali, dam chatos lemata, v'dam ola lemala. So listen to this case. So the Kohen, has the following situation. Now remember, I want to point something out. We learned about the halachos concerning kibbutz, the obligation to launder the article of clothing if sacrificial blood splashes on the clothing. It is important to remember, the din of kibbutz only applies to dam chatos. It's a special halacha that it does not apply to other forms of sacrificial blood. Only dam chatos. So now watch this case. case over here is dam chatas lamata. So the Kohen goes ahead and he has a splattering of dam chatas on his clothing. And then what happens? The dam ola lamala. And then after the dam chatas splatters on him, what happens? The dam ola splatters on him afterwards, right? The dam ola splatters on him on top of that. So we'll say, what's talacha? Ta'un kibus. It's clear that halacha lemaisa, there is an obligation to launder the kol. Now look at the tab Rashi, tab the kesam b'deis, dam chatas lamata v'dam ola lamala, nafal dam chatas tchila ala beged, v'chazer v'nith az dam ola al osa kesam. So we'll say again, dam chatas comes first on the beged, dam ola splatters on top of that stain, ta'un kibus, so obviously you require kibus, why? Dam chatas nogeya b'beged u'balua bo. Because we'll say, since the dam chatas is there, first, it's touching the baguette, and it is absorbed in the baguette. Fine, that's the easy case. Next, Bay Rava, listen to this case. Bay Rava, dam ola lemata, v'dam chatas lemala mahu. We'll say, tzad techesam, base 98b, three lines down. What about the following situation? Dam ola lemata, so we'll say here, the dam ola spritzes on the coin first, v'dam chatas lemala. And the dam chatas then spritzes on the coin on top of the dam ola. So it's dam ola first, same spot afterwards, dam chatas on top of it. Mahu, what is the halacha? Mishum nogeahu. So we'll say, so now here's the chakira. When we say that a beged which has dam chatas in it or on it, requires kibus, why is that? Is that because ultimately, so let's learn it. Mahu, mishum nogeahu. We'll say, is it that the dam chatas is touching the beged, and therefore, again, that's why it requires kibus? Well, if it's about touching the beged, then, bahanogeya, ultimately, I will say, in this case, is the dam chatas touching the beged? Is it touching the beged? Yes. Touching the beged, meaning, again, remember, it's certainly on the beged, it's there. So if it's about a question of negia, if it's about a question of touching, and touching ultimately, again, creates the obligation for kibus, then the blood, the dam chatas is touching the beged. O dilma mishum baluahu. But the other possibility is, it's not just about touching, but rather what? It has to be absorbed. The Rabbo say, Vaha lav baluahu. Now the Gemara makes the assumption, Rabbo say, that if the dam ola was there first, it's the dam ola that gets absorbed into the beged, and it's the dam chatas that kind of sits then on top of the beged. So the idea over here is, it's touching the beged, but not absorbed in the beged. So as I said, the fundamental shayla is, what triggers the obligation of kibus? Is it negia or is it blia? Is it touching or is it absorption? The nafkamina will be in this case, where the dam ola is there first, the dam chatas spritzes on top of it afterwards. Is there negia? Is there negia? Yes. Is there blia? No. So I asked the Gemara, Hader Pashta, De'ein Te'un Kibus. He answered after, he said, no, in a case like this, ultimately, again, there is no obligation of Kibus. There is no obligation of Kibus. We'll say, so apparently the Gemara is saying, Halacha L'maisa, that if the Dam Ola is there first, the Dam Chatas comes on top of it afterwards, that there is no Din of Kibus. Apparently, because the Din of Kibus is triggered not simply by Negia, but it's triggered ultimately, again, by Blia. Says the Gemara, we'll say, next case. Next case. Amar Rava, we'll say this is actually very interesting. Pshitali, so it's obvious to me, dam al bigdo chote. So we'll say this is a general halacha. Then let's say again, I have a garment that needs to be immersed in the mikvah because it is ritually impure. Right? It's tame. So what happens? Rava says, it's obvious if I have a blood stain on that garment, that blood stain will serve as a chatzitza, as an interposition with the mikvah waters. In other words, will validate, obviously, the existence of the stain, by definition, is a chatzitza. Okay. So we'll say, so that's good. Nobody, Rashi says, chotzeitz le'inyin tefillah be'beged shenitpa. The beged is something I have to immerse it in the mikvah. If there's a blood stain on it, that blood stain is a chatzitza. We'll say, now listen to this. This is really fascinating. V'in tavachu. We'll say, what happens if I'm a butcher? Right? I'm a butcher. Now, what's the chap if I'm a butcher? Rashi says, im tavachu, she'eno makpid bedam sha'al bigdo. Right, the butcher, at least again in Talmudic times, was not makbid if there was blood on his clothing. Now we'll say, now the chap over here is like this. It doesn't mean when he's standing behind the counter. right? But it sound, but hakpada also means what? Even when he's outside. If I'm a butcher, okay, it's during the, not on Shabbos, but it's during the week. I walk around with blood on my clothing. It doesn't bother me. So we'll say, one of the important halachos when it comes to chatzitzos for tevila, and this comes up all the time with tevila, with hilchos tevila by nida, which is a concept of chatzitza. There are two different types of chatzitzos. There are some things which are objective chatzitzos, but sometimes the halacha of chatzitza is very much subjective. The halacha of chatzitza sometimes says, if this is something that I would not want on my person, or in this case again, on my clothing, that's a chatzitza. So Rava says, the general assumption is a person doesn't want a blood stain on their clothing. So therefore, again, it's a chatzitza, it will prevent the tefillah from being effective. However, if I'm a butcher, and I don't mind blood stains on my clothing, then enoch inami, it's not a chatzitza. Fine, v'im tavachu, enoch otzeitz, good. Revav al bigdo, but let's say I have grease on my clothing, chotzeitz. So we'll say, so the grease, ultimately, again, the grease is a chatzitza. V'im mocher revav, but we'll say, if I'm a grease merchant, right? I'm a grease merchant. I sell schmaltz. That's what I do. I sell grease. Right? So we'll say, so what happens? V'mocher avavu inochote. So we'll say, it's the same logic. It's the same idea. The idea is, if because of my profession, I don't mind these stains on my clothing, therefore what? Therefore, halacha l'maisa, they do not serve as a chatzitza. Now we'll say, I watch this. This is so interesting. By Rava, dam urivav al bigdo mahu. We'll say, what happens if what? I have blood and grease on my clothing. Right? Blood and grease on my clothing. What is the halacha? Do those stains serve as a chatzitza ultimately again for tevila or not? So also, I don't understand what the shaila is. Im tabachu, if I'm a butcher, tevikli mishum revav. So I will say, if I'm a butcher, then what? The blood is okay, but what? The grease ultimately again will be problematic. Ve'imoche revavu, and if I'm a grease salesman, then what? Tevikli mishum dam. Then the grease is fine, but what? The blood is a chazizah. Sana says, what's the shayla? We'll say, listen to that interesting. Lo tzicha, de avitha, veha. We'll say, what's the issue over here? I do both, right? I do both. Baruch Hashem, I like to diversify. So I'm a butcher and a grease salesman. I do both. And therefore, again, I will say, so therefore it's common for me to have both of these stains on my clothing. So watch this. So we'll say, this is actually interesting. So the Gemara says, Achad lo kapit. So the Gemara says, "David ha'vaha, achad lo kapit, atarti kapit, odilma atarti nami lo kapit." So we're saying, the general assumption is that a person is not makbid on having the stains of his trade on his clothing. So if I'm a butcher, okay, I'm gonna have some blood. It's fine. It's not. I don't mind it. I'm a grease salesman. I don't mind it. We'll say the shad is if I do both. Do we say that most people still want to maintain some level of clothing cleanliness? And therefore, even if they're not going to be makbid on one type of stain, everybody's going to be makbid on two types of stains? Or do we say no, that as long as those stains are associated with my professional life, one, two, three, whatever it is, if they're reflective of my trade, I don't mind it, and therefore it's not a chatzitza. So I'll say, so this shaila only comes up, obviously, in the situation where the guy is both a grease salesman as well as a butcher, to which the Gemara says, teiku. To which, again, the Gemara says, if this comes up, you'll have to wait till Moshech. I will say, again, whenever you see a case of teiku like this, obviously, the resulting halacha is going to be l'chumra. Right? It's going to be l'chumra. So if, let's say, again, you immersed a baguette like this of a butcher grease salesman, with both blood and grease, we would require you, ultimately, again, to do kibos, to launder it, and then to be tovel it again. But I will say, again, nevertheless, the halacha this discussion is quite fascinating and riveting. So I'll say, so again, I'll just tell you, what is the halacha l'maisa? But again, what about the primary halacha l'maisa from our sugya, which is the shayla the Gemara started with before, that you have both a chatas and an ola blood stain, right, on the same garment, one on top of the other. Does the garment require kibur? So the Rambam really paskins just like Rava's statement. This is the Rambam in Maaseh Akaonos Paraches Halacha Tes. So the Rambam says, the Rambam brings down a lot of these halachos over, which are quite interesting. Nitas dam chatas ala beged, vinitas al dam chatas dam chulin ta'un kibus. So the Rambam actually phrases it in terms of dam chulin. So the halacha is, if dam chatas splattered on a beged, and dam chulin splattered on top of the dam chatas on the same beged, the beged requires kibus. Aval nitas dam chulin tchila, o afilu dam ola, vinitas alav dam chatas, Eino ta'un kibos shahari lo nivlabo. But Rabbi said, if halacha lemaisa, the chulin blood or the ola blood was there first, and then the dam chata splatters on top of that blood, the beged does not require kibos. The beged does not require halachic laundering. And why is that? Because we see again that in order for there to be an obligation ultimately again of kibos, you have to have what? Blia. You have to have absorption. Negiah is clearly not enough. Hajin halach. Dam chata. So we'll say mazel tov. New parak, new mishnah. Tvul yom. We'll say, I'm going to get into some of the halachos concerning kohanim. This is really interesting. Tvul yom. So we'll say tvul yom is a kohen. Is a kohen who has gone to the mikvah, but who still requires herev shemesh. He still requires nightfall in order to go ahead and partake of sacrificial items. Umechusar Kippurim, we'll say Umechusar Kippurim again is the same thing. A Kohen who still requires, he is Tahar now, but he still requires certain types of karbanos to affect his atonement. Dalochas Eino Cholkin Bekachim Lechol Be'er. We'll say they cannot receive a portion of sacrificial meat to eat in the evening. So we'll say, what it's saying over here is as follows. We're going to see the general principle of the Mishnah is that if you are not fit to eat a karban at the time of slaughter, you cannot eat it later on, even when you become fit. So for example, if at the time the karban was slaughtered, the kohen was a tevul yom, or he was mechusar kippurim, so again, right now his status is such that he cannot eat karbanos, even though later on, that same evening, where the karban is still consumable, he will be fit, he is not permitted to partake of it. Onein, so onein nogeh, we'll say, take out that eino. Anonin Bas, remember again, so we'll define the scope of this, but an onein, the halacha is permitted to touch a karban. In other words, an onein, who is someone who has just endured the loss of a close relative prior to the levaya, ultimately, again, we'll see, is not permitted to do avodah, but he is permitted to touch a karban. Ve'ino makriv, so meaning what it's saying is, an onein can't do the avodah, but there's no tumah associated with the onein. Vaharaya, if he touches the karban, it does not invalidate the karban at all. Ve'eino cholik le'achol la'erev. Similarly, again, Rabbi Osai, the onein is not permitted to take a portion of sacrificial meat that evening. In other words, Rabbi Osai, same principle. Even though that night after the levaya, he'll be permitted to consume sacrificial items because he can't eat it now at the time that it's being offered. Therefore, he can't eat it that evening as well. Ba'ali mumin. So we'll say if a kohen possesses a mum, bein ba'ali mumin overin, bein ba'ali mumin kavuin, whether it's the type of mum that is permanent or it's the type of mum which is passing, so cholkin v'ochlin. So we'll say this halacha is going to be problematic because it seems to contradict that. That's what we just said before. So even though these individuals can avalo makrivin, even though these individuals ba'ali mumin, we'll say whether it's what's called a mum kavua, which means a permanent mum, or a mum over, or a passing mum, he has a broken arm. Right now it's a mum, but ultimately again it will be healed and he'll be fit. So we'll say, the Mishnah says, they are not permitted to offer a karban, but what? Cholkin va'ochlin. They are permitted to eat a portion of sacrificial meat. So now the Mishnah says a principle. Now we'll say, now the Gemara is going to raise, that seems to contradict what we just said before, but we'll see that in the Gemara. Kol she'en aray la'avoda, en acholik v'bas. So we'll say, here is the principle. Any kohen who is not fit to do the avoda does not receive a portion in the meat. The chol she'ein lo bebasar, and I will say anyone who does not get a portion of the meat, ein lo ba'oros, ultimately again, also doesn't what? Doesn't get a portion in the hides. Now, we're going to talk about this because this was a source of important income for the Kohanim. The Kohanim were entitled to the hides of the animals. But you could only eat the meat if what? You're able to participate in the offering. And you can only get the hides if you're permitted to eat the meat. Afilu tami b'shas zrikas damim, v'tar b'shas hekter chalafim, eino cholik babasa. Now, now the Mishnah just gives an example of this. Even someone who is tami at the time of zrika, but he becomes tar by the time they're offering up the limbs or the fats, nevertheless, eino cholik babasar. He does not get a portion in the meat. I will say this is the principle. The principle is the only time you get a portion in the meats, and by extension the hides, is if what? Is if you are fit for service at the time of the offering of the carbon. Shene'emar hamakriv es tam hashlamim v'esachil b'mei aron lo yiyah teishok hayom elamana. So we'll say it is only he who is ultimately, again, makriv. It is only in the individual who is already fit at the time of the hakrava, at the time of the offering of the carbon, who has a right to share in the portions of the carbon. So we'll stop over here for today. I'll share with you a short idea on the parasha. I'm sorry.